From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 9th day of June, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And then a bit later in the program, Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, will be here to take up the cash grain market. Along the way today, Dave Dickey will bring us the agricultural news. We'll talk with Drew Lerner about the agricultural weather forecast. And we'll have an update on the exports for corn with Daryl Good. And then in the second half hour of the program, because we are on and off of the air a bit at our home station in Urbana-Champaign, we'll do a bit of a move around. We're going to talk about a Human Rights Watch organization white paper on child labor in the United States. Instead, we'll rerun a very interesting interview with the folks at Rabobank. It all comes up on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the soft red winter July wheat at 428, down 4.25 cents. September at 444 3/4, down 4.25. And December at 475, down 4.5 cents. July corn a penny higher at 338 1/4, up a penny. September at 347, up 1. December corn at 358 1/2, up 2. And the March contract at 372, up 2 1/4. May corn futures at 381 1/4, 2 1/4 higher. The soy complex now, July beans, 943 1/2, 12.5 cents higher. August at 920 1/2, up 8 1/4. September at 903 1/4, up a nickel. And November beans at 896 1/2, up 2 1/4. January futures at $9.05, a penny and 3/4 higher. July bean meal at 285.50, up 870. August at 270, 260, up $6.30. July bean oil, 36.75, 8 cents higher. And the August contract there at 36.94, up a nickel. June live cattle futures, $89.65, down 30 cents. The August at 87.47 1/2, down 35. August feeders at 109.22 1/2, 37 1/2 cents higher. September futures at 109 7 1/2 cents, up 42 1/2 cents. And June lean hog futures, 77.45. down 17 and a half cents on the day. And you are listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. July contract at $74.19 a barrel, up $2.19. August crude at $75.25, up $2.19. July ethanol, $1.56 1/10. Settlement price, 0.2 cents higher. July natural gas at $4.69 2/10, down 11 6/10. The heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.06 1/cent, up 0.4 cents. And the gold futures today at $1,228.50, settlement price down $15.50 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 9,977, just about 38 points higher, and the U.S. dollar now down 0.5 at 87.89 on the afternoon. The CRB index at 253.06 is up 2.98, and the Goldman Sachs at 487.98 is 9.78 higher for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. In the Midwest, it says dry weather will occur this afternoon right on through Thursday, and temperatures will trend warmer the next few days, getting back to the upper 70s and the 80s and the low 90s in the southern areas. Saturday and Sunday will be the warmest from Missouri through southern Illinois to southern Ohio and Kentucky, where lower temps should be in the mid to low 90s. Cooling is likely later in the weekend and early next week. Next week, though, will show a wave of stormy weather that's due to pass through on Thursday night into Saturday, with Friday and Saturday being the stormiest, and rainfall totals between a third and a full inch, and local totals of between 1 and 2 inches, which could be possible. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour, and we talk with Drew Lerner.
Learnerd Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Learnerd Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids, to farmers throughout East Central Illinois. Learnerd Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been kind of a wild and woolly couple of weeks, and tomorrow morning we have a USDA report that's due out. Usually this one deals mostly with updates of what they think the wheat harvest might look like, but will there be other numbers we should be watching?
Yeah, there's going to be ending stocks on corn, soybeans, wheat, and cotton. And, you know, Informa basically came in with a larger winter wheat crop of 984 million bushels on the wheat crop. And I think the average trade guest estimate is 939. The corn carryover... Inform is saying 1738. The average guess is 1714. Their soybeans number is 182 rather. The average trade and wheat at 946. It's going to be an interesting report to kind of give a barometer on the old crop corn and old crop soybean carryover. It'll be an adjustment, but usually. 5 or 10 million bushels is always an interesting topic to talk about in the marketplace.
What are farmers mostly asking you about on the phone line today?
Well, they're very shook about cheap prices. It's more than just building another bin. It's low prices and how to take care of it. Also, they're surprised that the crop ratings are so good, so big, so early. Historically, this doesn't take place until late in the summertime when we start to see the crop further along. For example, tasseling and pollinating before the government really ups the quality the crop ratings. The problem also is these cheap prices are horribly cheap. And that's bothering them a great deal, too, because there's a lot of people still holding old crop inventory. And what to do with this new crop, corn crop, is also a dilemma to the marketplace.
You have any answers for them?
Well, first of all, make sure the bins work. If you still have time to build storage, go for it. Lock in some storage and storage rates because that's going to be important. It does look like a bin buster crop coming along as of June the 9th, 2010. The good news is that it's probably historically there's usually some road bumps in the road to give us some short-term rallies in here. From a cycles point of view, some people are talking about August time frame before we get any kind of a major turnaround. But the big factor here is, of course, ethanol is logical. Also, there's a possibility that we are looking at above normal temperatures as far as temperatures are concerned. If we didn't have the rainfall, instead of having a 2 or 3 degree temperature rise, we'd have a 5 to 7 degree temperature rise. But right now, there's no major problems until at least the 4th of July weekend.
You mentioned ethanol. You think U.S. EPA will step into the breach eventually and raise...
Well, tip of the hat to Patrice Schwartz, the chief executive officer of ADM, for sending a petition to the EPA to go to 12% blend. It's a necessary item. There's plenty of capacity out there. And, of course, it's something that the farmers need, particularly with the $3 cash corn out of the field. Something needs to happen to help smooth this bumpy ride at lower prices.
You know, we had Glenn Ring on Commodity Week, and he mentioned a $2 figure. Do you think that might be in the works at some point?
Well, I think that's an extreme point of view. The big question here is, and if we do have something like that, we'd have to see a new plateau boost in the corn yields. Instead of 169, we'd have to see something like 172 or 3, which is almost unheard of. But, you know, it would take a yield that would be unprecedented. Right now, with these crops, the way they do look, you wouldn't rule it out, so to speak. But it's the function of government to help farmers and not to take relief, but it's helped to manage the supply, and that's one way they could help manage it.
You think there's much downside potential here? Are we at the bottom end of the range within 15 or 20 cents of it?
I think that's an area as of the next 2 weeks. We did start to see some export demand from China on both corn and beans, and that helps. So those are manageable numbers as far as downside is concerned. There's a mountain of storage out there. The big grain companies, the big international well-financed grain companies can handle piles of corn. Most elevators are putting in larger capacity dryer systems, and they know how to handle corn on the ground. It's wet corn that's the mountain, and with these degree units, it ought to be a manageable crop this fall.
July and August soybeans made a fairly nice little rally today.
Yeah, we got some export sales there, and we finally liquidated the commodity hedge funds out of their nearby positions, and it gave a signal to the experts, the pros, to push the old crop beans up. We did see some export business in the old crop soybeans. It's a very tight situation. The basis levels are 40 to 70 over in some of the marketplaces, which means we're running on empty in the old crop beans. The Chinese basically talked about 50 million tons of imports of beans. So there's going to be a bean market either here in the U.S. or South America to supply that big supply and demand for beans going to the Chinese. The big factor here is, though, we do have to have a choice in the world, either to plant corn, wheat, or soybeans. And at this $9 level, I'm sure, and $4 wheat, so to speak, there's going to be some interest in planting soybeans and not so much wheat.
Paul, thanks so much.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear Paul again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org, willag.org, or by calling this number, 217-333-3434. We up the voicemail with the most current numbers, either from the opening or the closing market report, and a bit of analysis at 10:15 and 3:15 daily.
Support for agricultural programming comes from the Westchester Group, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in land auctions for farmland, timberland, and recreational land. More information on upcoming auctions is at westchester-auctions.com. or at 800-607-6888.
Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the Senate is scheduled tomorrow to debate and vote on a resolution that would roll back the Environmental Protection Agency's authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. The disapproval resolution seeks to veto EPA's endangerment finding, a formal determination that allows the agency to issue regulations intended to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Under the Congressional Review Act, Congress can disapprove rules issued by an executive branch department or agency via this resolution process. The resolution is filibuster-proof and needs only 51 votes for approval. However, even if the Senate passes a resolution, it still would face a steep hurdle in the House, and the White House threatened a presidential veto if Congress passed the resolution. The White House said that the resolution would hurt the government's ability to combat climate change. A new BP annual statistics review says that global greenhouse gas emissions from energy use fell for the first time since 1998. as the economic recession slashed industrial production and fossil fuel consumption in most countries. Global carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuels fell by 1.1% to 31.13 billion tons in 2009, down from a peak of 31.55 in 2008. China, the world's biggest emitter, increased its emissions by 9.1% last year. U.S. emissions fell by 6.5%. Taiwan says it plans to send food safety inspectors to the United States this summer to make certain all U.S. beef exports are adequately labeled as required by the country's regulations. It would be the first time Taiwan has taken such an action and could result in trade returning to normal. The Taiwanese government in January decided to tighten its restrictions by blocking the import of U.S. ground beef, offal, and internal organs. Since then, there has been some confusion over what products are permitted, with an application to import cattle tongues authorized, but then rescinded in April. Japan's new farm minister, Masahiko Yamada, says Japan will keep its traditional cautious stance on talks over deregulation of beef imports with the U.S. Yamada says he is not willing to relax existing curbs on U.S. beef imports. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, the USDA will release the latest WASDE figures. That's the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. The wheat numbers are really the important ones tomorrow, but they'll update some of the numbers, maybe, with the corn and the soybeans as well. If you'd like to have them text to you early in the morning or to get them as an email in your inbox not long after they are released by the United States Department of Agriculture. That happens at 7:30 a.m. Sign up right now at willag.org for our weekend newsletter and give us your cell phone number. It's over on the right-hand side of the page. If you're already signed up, just manage your subscription there at willag.org and put your cell phone number in. We'll get those numbers to you ASAP tomorrow morning. Now, up next, you know the corn market is relying heavily on exports to keep prices steady, if not higher. I'll have more on some of the mixed developments in the overseas marketplace. The number of bushels of corn exported from the United States might or might not reach USDA's projections, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. He says the USDA figure is 1.95 billion bushels.
That projection is 92 million bushels larger than exports during the previous year and about equal to the 10-year average. With one quarter remaining in this marketing year, there is mixed evidence of the likelihood of reaching the USDA's projection. The Census Bureau provides the official exports estimates on a monthly basis with about a six-week lag.
The current Census Bureau data is available through March. You can use it and USDA's weekly estimates of exports and export sales to judge how close the end-of-the-year export stat might be from the agency.
From September 2009 through March 2010, cumulative Census Bureau estimates exceeded cumulative USDA estimates by 69 million bushels. If that margin persisted through May 27, cumulative exports would have totaled 1.4 billion bushels. To reach the USDA projection, exports during the final 14 weeks of the marketing year need to average about 40 million bushels per week.
Inspections have exceeded 40 million bushels in only 9 weeks during the first 38.4 weeks of the marketing year, says Good, and they've averaged only 34.7 million bushels per week during that period. Inspections have been relatively large since mid-February, averaging just over 37.8 million per week. And then they increased to 46.1 million per week for the 2 weeks ended May the 27th. It's a rapid pace that will have to be maintained if the USDA end-of-the-year projection is to be reached. While the recent surge in corn export sales adds to the generally positive developments for corn demand that include favorable ethanol blending margins and higher livestock prices. Those developments, however, Darrell Good cautions, have not resulted in sustained price strength for corn. In addition to continued slow economic recovery, corn prices have been kept in check by expectations for another very large U.S. corn crop in 2010. That crop is just entering the important stages of the growing season, with the National Weather Service providing a generally favorable outlook for June. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baesdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You get much rain over there?
Actually, it varied. Anywhere from an inch and a half to next to nothing. Most guys probably got, though, more towards the half to three quarters.
And do your producers think that their crops are as good as USDA says the nation is?
I think a lot of them do, yeah. I think we in generality terms, we feel pretty good about what we have out there.
And I bet they're very disappointed with Chicago.
They are. They are. It's been a tough couple weeks here, and most guys are feeling pretty depressed that they missed the boat and you know, are out of good options of what to do with old corn here.
Yeah, and they really are out of good options. Is there anything that you can see on the horizon that would help them out?
You know, basis is starting to improve a little bit because basis of producer's corn has shut off unless you offer a free DP type of program. So basis here on corn, most processors are now option or small overs, and, you know, a general sense is that probably is working its way to being a five over by the time we get to next week.
And those processors for soybeans have been paying overs in your area for some time. Are they still doing the such with that too?
They are. And actually the news is we had the first processor in our area move to the Nove. It's the only one so far, but we'll continue to see that as the processor starts to try to scare both the commercial and the producer to move beans so they don't have to deal with the Nove July spread.
Oh, I bet they didn't like, or your farmers didn't like it when they moved to the November, did they?
No, they didn't.
That's a pretty tough call. Did their basis on over expand much when they did that, or did they keep it the same?
Their basis went over, but if you take the spread, they actually faded back 3 or 4 cents. So, and throughout the day with that spread being pretty volatile, is actually down about 8 cents compared to yesterday.
And for corn and soybeans, what do you expect basis to do in the next week or so?
You know, I think corn has a nickel to 7 cents basis appreciation. Beans, I'm a little bit suspect on. If we start to see the rest of the processors move over to the Nove, I think you're actually going to start to see basis flattening out and probably looking to actually get weaker here.
Okay, and your bids for the day are?
Beans are at 9.48 and corn at 3.38.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Matt Blaisdell. He's with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on a Wednesday afternoon. Stay with us. Drew Lerner will be here in just a couple of minutes to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast.
This is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. In business news, Land O'Lakes Incorporated has agreed to pay $25 million to settle a class action lawsuit accusing it of conspiring with farmers to fix ag prices. The lawsuit accused several major ag producers of violating the Sherman Antitrust Act by conspiring with several trade associations to reduce egg output and thus drive prices of shell eggs and egg products higher. The settlement covers all people and businesses who purchased shell eggs and egg products since the year 2000. Minnesota researchers have designed a $3.75 million carbon-free system that uses wind power from a towering turbine to produce anhydrous ammonia. The test plant will produce fertilizer for use on university farmland. Construction on the Morris plant began this week, and it should produce fertilizer by the end of the year. Spending Pulse today says that U.S. retail gasoline demand dropped 5.8% in the week ending June 4th from the previous week, which saw motorists filling their tanks ahead of the Memorial Day holiday weekend. Year-on-year, U.S. gasoline demand slipped 1.7%. And a new report says the Food and Drug Administration is stretched thin and needs to reorganize to better keep the nation's food safe. The report released by the Institute of Medicine and the National Research Council yesterday says the agency needs to become more efficient and better target its limited dollars to prevent foodborne illness outbreaks. And that's a look at today's business news.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City is traveling today, but still with us to talk about the agricultural weather. Thanks for taking the time, Drew.
Thanks, Todd. It's always good to speak with you no matter where I am.
We had quite a little bit of rainfall here in Champaign County last night, although I think the skies are supposed to clear out if they haven't already. I've been inside all day and haven't actually taken a look outside. What's the weather going to be like?
Well, I think it is going to be better for a little while. We've seesawed back and forth and certainly seen more than our share of rainfall here recently, and certainly a drier bias would be far welcome. And we are going to see it, believe it or not. We just got to be a little bit more patient. We'll probably have one more round of storminess coming at us as we finish out this particular work week and go into the weekend. That next storm system be somewhat disorganized on the rainfall. We've seen a lot of that here recently. There's going to be some counties that get hit pretty hard with some heavy rain, and other areas probably just light amounts and scattered shower activity. But we're probably not going to be done with precipitation completely until, I imagine, sometime on late Sunday into Monday morning, actually, perhaps for some of the easternmost parts of the region. But anyway, the good news is that there is a fairly strong surface high-pressure system that'll set on top of us after that passes. Should give us a good few days worth of drying conditions. Now, there's a chance the surface high will move off a little bit quicker than I think, and if that's the case, we may only get 2 or 3 days of dryness. But I do think we will have a nice little break there where we might be able to get a little spraying done, and the areas that aren't too wet, we'll be able to work some of those fields. But anyway, this system will be followed by the return of warmer air, and as that warmer air comes back in, it likely will stimulate some more shower and thunderstorm activity. So it's not going to be just a dry week next week, but we'll at least have a little break, and that's worth a lot, I think.
When we talked with you last week, you were watching some heat and dryness build in the southwest. What's happened with it?
Well, they certainly did get the heat and the dryness, and it became pretty significant. And I was just talking to some of the Texas Panhandle people earlier this week, and they were telling me how the crops had taken a significant dive. And I'm talking about cotton and some of the corn and sorghum that's produced out there, not winter wheat. Winter wheat needs that dryness so they can harvest. But some of those other crops went through a pretty quick period of moisture stress, and temperatures did get into the range of upper 90s to lower 100s over a number of days there, and the ground did firm up. Now we're looking at an opportunity for rain to come back into that region as we finish out this weekend and going into the early part of next week. And I think it will be pretty significant rainfall. Not quite enough to hurt the winter wheat crop out there, but enough to help replenish some of these summer crops that get into a little bit of a wilting mode here for a while this week.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, have yourself a good day.
Hey. And that is Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Stay with us today if you can. We'll rerun an interview with John Reynolds. He's at Rabobank in St. Louis. That came from us maybe 4 weeks ago or so. We'll put that on the air for you. And then later this week, a couple of things coming up. We'll talk with Bob Dineen. He's the president of the RFA. That's Renewable Fuels Association, and we'll take a look at the Human Rights Watch Child Labor Act in the United States.